Hi, this is Charlene, your host for Soul Sciences, the place where your inner experience meets outer exploration, or your inner exploration meets outer experience. Thanks for joining today's program of Soul Sciences. Hi, listeners. Today we depart from the usual format of me interviewing usually other writers, occasionally scientists, and instead I'm being interviewed by Catherine Sword. Welcome to the program, Catherine, and thank you for your participation in this experiment.
Well, thank you, Charlene. I'm looking forward to getting some kind of insight on these topics, so I appreciate the chance.
Good. Let's jump right in. What's your first question for me?
Well, I've been curious about gender issues. There seems to be a lot. I've had an article at one point stating that 31 genders have been adopted for New York City. Facebook has up to like 50, 70. And I'm just trying to grapple with what this means. And I think my first confusion was what many people are doing, confusing sex and gender. And I think that needs to be clarified.
Well, why don't
you... Is that a start?
That's a great start, Catherine. Tell us what you know about the difference between sex and gender.
Well, sex is the physical, biological thing that I'm born with. I am born in a female body or a male body. Now, there are other exceptions, I believe, where androgynous may be with both actual
hermaphroditic
genitalia.
Yes, yeah. Hermaphroditic, yes, androgynous.
Hermaphroditic, that's it. Okay, so basically that is a sex, and there's... I think pretty clear about that. There's no argument about that. Gender, I'm coming to understand, is something that a person self-identifies with. And then I get confused that a lot of it seems to be attached to their fashion, the way they want to, the person wants to dress. I don't understand how it affects their lives. There was a Globe and Mail article a while back where a person in Newfoundland trying to get their birth certificate changed to say, could be gender fluid or non-binary or something. Why would you want your birth certificate changed? The sex doesn't change of the person. The biological body doesn't change. So I'm wondering why things are so confused.
Well, my first place of starting is to say to all people who belong to the LGBTQQTT, and I think I've got all those letters wrong, but I think you understand what I mean, to those communities,
yeah.
I want to offer my humble thanks because and apologies ahead of time. I feel rather like the situation where in the black community, one black person, usually male, can call another a nigger, and that's okay, but white people can't. Or if a man says, you're a bitch, to a woman, it's very different than if a woman laughs and says to her friend, hey, bitch. There's
yeah.
a very different thing to how people use language. And so I want to apologize ahead of time for any mistakes I may make. The issue is actually, in my view, not about classification. The issue is about identity, and they're different. That's different from classification. We
okay.
struggle with identity. We need identity. We need to feel secure in our bodies. A strong ego, which, as you know, I am very much in favor of, counter to all the hoopla you hear about egotism, which is a topic for another day. But a strong ego is a person who's well-grounded in their body. Now, if, for example, the physicality of the body says that one is female, but the hormonal and endocrine and neurotransmitters and everything else that work on a subtle level tell that person you're actually responding the way a man responds. You are responding as a man, and that person decides to get an operation perhaps, or that person decides to then identify as lesbian. And those are two different categories. I do know that trans gendered people and lesbian, totally different categories.
Yes.
Such that the person wants to match their inner experience with their outer. So I, just to tell a short story here, how language is important in this discussion, I know someone who has identified as lesbian, and okay. this person and I were talking, and I said, here's the test. If I say the word, name the planet Uranus, do you think that's funny for no reason? And this person started laughing and said, yeah, I do. I said, okay, so you're a guy inside for sure. Because girls don't find that funny. Uranus, it's like, what? What is the joke? But any man who hears that has a little behind his hand, his mouth is giggling. A lot of men do that. So this is kind of a funny little way of describing the differences. And the confusions for these people are multiple. Not only because does their body and their inner experience not necessarily match up at all, but the culture itself has always defined what is right, what is good, what is wholesome, what is God's approving of this by heterosexuality. And if we look back in history, we realize that was not really a good deal for women, but women put up with it for yeah. centuries for reasons that have to do with being oppressed and have to do with trying to keep the species going. Because I think a lot of history came down in the eyes of the woman to, okay, maybe I'm getting beaten by my partner, my husband, whatever, and there's no laws to protect me, but the children will survive. At least 3 out of the 10 that I'm born will survive and go on. That is a huge urge. And so our culture was built in inadequately and in an imbalanced way, as we have come to know from every quarter. The white males are now receiving in one dollop all of the bashing that they have ever in their history, in their ancestors' history, in their lineage's history, ever put out. And now these white men are receiving the back end of that. And one doesn't know. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say good, bad, or indifferent. What I can say is laws are changing so that we have to accept more and more that people who identify themselves as having a discrepancy between their inner state of being and their outer appearance have the right to be treated equally. Now, that's coming right on the heels of the feminist movement from 1963 is really the only thing that you really need to think about in terms of feminism, and I'm going to get a lot of backlash for that. But the only thing that really matters was the development of the pill, because for the first time ever, you got to let that sink in. For the first time ever, women took control and had the right to take control of their bodies around whether or not they would reproduce upon having been raped, upon being a partner to someone they don't care for, love, or whatever, or in some cases, take it on for themselves. So the choice now became for the women, and right on the heels of that came an explosion of choice for everyone. Well, the entire structure of our culture has been based on heterosexuality. You go to a restaurant, there's a male washroom, there's a female washroom. There is not a lesbian washroom, a transgendered washroom, any of those non-binary. And so, and so it is that notion that many of us who identify as, for example, in my case, white heterosexual, I have to understand there's a sort of inbuilt privilege, as it were, in my world, because I'm accepted at certain levels. Now, I would argue there's a problem there regarding rape for everybody, but that's my particular bailiwick. I do believe also, in addition to that, that I do have certain privileges and certain unquestioned attributes that allow me to have people talk to me and relate to me in a particular way that makes they feel safe. I feel safe. Nobody's making fun of me. I've seen women and men who are not in this privileged position have terrible times. Terrible times, especially teenagers. They are the teenagers that do not identify immediately as heterosexual find that the teen years are just tremendously fraught. We lose them more rapidly than we do other teens. The rates of suicide are just enormous. They're scary. And so there's been a tremendous influx here in York Region in Ontario by a woman we both know to try to adjust that through counseling services and support services and after-school programs for the LGBTQ. I'm sorry, the letters. You know, that community.
Yes.
And I'm sorry not to be more respectful. That is really disrespectful.
It doesn't trip off my tongue easily either. And if I don't mind me jumping in here, this brings me back to another point. You had mentioned that the laws are changing. But I'm also seeing the language is changing. And the example you gave earlier of the woman who had self-identified as lesbian, and I'm thinking, then you ask her the question, it's like she has a masculine inside. This sounds like she's still using even an older language terminology, that she is a woman in a woman's body, attracted to women, therefore she's a lesbian. But now we have technology, medical advances that would allow a person in a woman's body who recognizes and self-identifies as, hey, I'm actually masculine. I like that Uranus joke. You know, I'd like to have my body be that as well. So they can physically change that.
Well, let's separate those two right away, because I'm
okay.
In no way trying to say that people who are lesbians are transgendered. They are not.
No.
People
no.
who are lesbians but are maybe thinking more like way males think and might laugh at that joke, they're happy to be lesbians. They like the female body and that's it. Transgender is a whole other level of I am not in the right body. And yes, we do have the technology now to help that person become a unified sense of themselves from the inner to the outer.
Right. I like that terminology, unified of inner and outer selves. Yes. Yes. No, I did not mean to imply that a lesbian is actually an asshole. I was bouncing off the example you gave.
Yes.
But okay, there's a specific case. But that brings up the whole business of the language, and maybe the teen generations, they're new to this, and they're exploring, and they're coming up with some of the creative ways of describing what they are, that my generation in my 50s, late 50s, that I'm really struggling to grasp what this means. So I'm trying hard to respectfully, you know, talk to a person, maybe. I might meet somebody who's like that, and do I not call them he anymore or she anymore?
You ask.
Yeah.
It's a very simple statement. And then you apologize if you make the wrong assignation.
Yeah.
We are at a place where the old school of heterosexuality is fast fading on the horizon. And the confusing new world of people have the right to call themselves non-binary or whatever it is that they like to identify themselves as. And I think that the explosion of different categories will eventually find its way into phylos.
Okay.
Silos of phylos. We will find that there will be fewer categories and then subcategories, and everyone will start to understand there are some majority texts here that we can relate to.
Yes.
The culture is going through, along with every other area of cultural dissembling and hopefully rebirth, is also going through this at a very fundamental level, that we are not anymore assigning some kind of God-given preference. And I use the word God quite acknowledging that the Christian church is behind a lot of the distaste and homophobic response from people in the Western culture. We do not understand how thoroughly the church decimated not only women and denigrated us, but any other option, even while, of course, we know the great hypocrisy of the pedophiles within the church and being protected and so forth. So I think in part what happened is, along with that insight of the understanding that the church was hiding pedophiles and still is to some degree, the Vatican in particular, and that the government does too as well, that the people in power who have been holding up the flag of heterosexual behavior are in the closet, perhaps literally, but certainly are doing other things off duty, that now suddenly, where's the moral authority? So if there's no moral authority coming to us from a perceived position of heightened understanding, which is how we perceived the church for many, many centuries, or how we perceived government off and on, I think, through the centuries. If there's no moral authority coming from there, then we are in a kind of free zone to start claiming our own relationship to our bodies and our own relationship to our higher authority. Now, I call that spiritual anarchy, and I'm big in favor of it. I think we need spiritual anarchy. And in that sense, one might say the sexual identity anarchy. We need lawlessness. We need to know that every human being who identifies themselves, they have the right to do that. They have the right to say, this is my experience. As a therapist, I cannot argue. I remember Carl Jung and Marie-Louise von Franz, his great disciple, having a discussion. I remember reading about this. She had just been at the hospital, and she had been visiting one of Carl Jung's patients, a woman who claimed to live on the moon. And this was how Marie-Louise von Franz explained it to Carl Jung. You know that woman who thinks she lives on the moon, and immediately Carl Jung stopped her and said, no, she lives on the moon. She definitely lives on the moon. It isn't just her perception and she's wrong. She's right. And that is, if you take that story to a larger platform, you find there's a tremendous amount of ground to stand on there. And we say perception is truth. Well, that's what we're talking about. And so in this day and age, people who actually perceive themselves as every shade of the rainbow, every kind of possibility, and it may change through their lifetime. When they're 14, they may say, I'm not interested. When they're 15, I'm this. When they're 17, I'm that. When they're 19, when they're 25, when they're 50, when they're 75, why not? Why do we get stuck in it has to be one thing? Well, we have our stuck in it because our culture grew up in that for centuries, and it makes other people feel safe. That's really what that's about. Along with, you know, we can get into the discussion about how girls and boys were betrothed by the church in order to increase the holdings of the church. And there's a great amount in the early days to be said for that. But anything past, say, 1600s that was not to do with huge money, and remember the bourgeoisie were growing in numbers, was about personal choice. But everyone chose only, publicly, only heterosexual. Well, now all of the doors have been opened from the closets, and everybody's coming out and saying, well, actually, right? And indeed, we have a lot of influence from nature, a lot of information. I just want to make one point. We're getting into our time limit here, but for example, in the area of geese and ducks, water birds, fowl, it is more common than not, by a large percentage, to have three adults taking care of the nest. So you'll have one female and two males. That's usually the setup. And they all the three adults have sex with each other. It just kind of, you know, mange-toi. And the reason for that is that having two males to defend the nest is a clever way to do things, because the chance of the survival of the eggs is increased. It's doubled.
Yeah.
So when we think about that, and we think about the, how the world goes, you know, just an interesting book, if anyone's interested to sort of just tease their mind, is Ursula K. Le Guin, The Left Hand of Darkness. And it has a very, very interesting take on what she called chemering, which is a kind of season of mating, and how this culture just let down and let anybody do that. When they went into season, they could approach a partner and find the right partner, and they would turn into either male or female, according to what, I guess, the hormones were doing. So it leaves you with a kind of open-mindedness to some degree about what the possibilities are. So,
actually, yeah, I think that is what you're leaving me with. I keep wanting that nice, neat package. That's the librarian in me who wants everything organized. And I have to go through this period of time of things are going to be messy until I figure it out. And the rest of the world, too, because I'm not alone.
Absolutely, Catherine. Thank you so much. It's been a delightful minute. It feels like a tiny, tiny bit of a discussion about this really important issue. Blessings to all the people who are working with this and really pushing it forward, in particular my friend Nikki Ward in Toronto. Just big, big ups to Nikki. Thank you for all the work you're doing. And thank you, Catherine. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
That's it. That's all for today's program. Thanks for joining us here at Soul Sciences. And thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that lovely intro and extra music called Carefree. For more of my work, please go to www.soulsciences.net. And remember, take good care of each other.